meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, welcome to you. Did you hear that?
Yes, the sound effects here.
Was that for a reason? Because I could hear Armin saying, no.
Yeah, right.
No, I just... You're making
there's
a point.
Just sound effects.
Just walked in, spilled something on my desk.
Flying
so.
In.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's the Rush Limbaugh paper shuffle.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
That's exactly
very
what I was
crisp,
thinking.
Very crisp, very crisp.
How does that sound over the radio?
Sounds great.
Sounds great. It's Friday.
It's Friday and I
yeah,
didn't bring...
Yeah, there's a reason.
We're going to pray.
Yes.
I didn't bring my prayers... Because I was in a hurry and I thought I took it, but I didn't. But anyway, let's do that now and then we can just kind of get ourselves focused here. This is going to be right from the heart, so I, you know how
it's
it is
best.
When you do it.
Well, it's the best.
It's the best.
Well, I mean, if yes, that would be good, but this is a formula
Friday.
Prayer from the heart.
Sure.
As if we can do the Angelus, we'll do what we can, and then a chaplet of... The Divine Mercy.
Mercy
on this. What day? We're in the middle of December.
Today's 15th. The 15th. It's
it
right
is
smack
exactly
in the middle.
Middle of December. Hard to believe. Okay, so in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Pour forth, we beseech you, Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of the resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you.
Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored that help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer us. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
Saint John the Baptist, Saint John the Baptist,
pray for us.
Saint John of the Cross,
pray for us.
Saint Lucy,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints in heaven,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Right, so that wasn't so bad. I didn't have any of my prayers. So
you
I did
the prayers.
Well, I didn't know the last prayer after the chaplet, even though I pray it every day.
Yeah.
But I kept, in my mind,
you're
I had.
You're on the spot.
Because you're on the spot.
Pour forth. I kept, had the pour forth, the beseech. Anyway, the prayer that ends the Angelus. So, and then, of course, that prelude that we have to the Memorare, I didn't have that memorized, because I'm going to pray that on the
radio.
That's
my homework. I have to learn some of those prayers.
Memorization. I was talking to, I'm a little bit tired today. It's just been, we have had a, I know this is, there's nothing new under the sun. It's been a very, very, very busy week. And part of the problem was I was in the chapel preparing, and I just fell. I had children's mass this morning, and there you can see they're kind of beginning to tune out. They're ready to go
on
to their vacation, although they have another full week of school. But and maybe we were all, because even the cantor and the organist, and we were all just kind of, wow, we're really tired today for some reason. And maybe because it's so warm today.
Yeah,
it is.
You know,
it's beautiful.
Maybe the change in weather, but the and then. All kinds of things
and
going on.
And the whole week has been busy.
Oh, it's been nonstop.
Yes.
Literally nonstop.
Because
we had all the children's confessions, and we had a funeral. We had Our Lady Guadalupe in
the
morning. And the meeting with the children's, the concert, Christmas, which was really nice.
It was?
Oh, yeah, because we didn't talk since then.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. So I didn't tell you then, did you?
No.
Or did I? Did I? Okay.
Not yet.
So anyway, the point is, I was in the chapel and I went into this deep sleep.
Which is the best.
And woke up just in time to make coffee and then spilled some coffee on my desk and all that. So that's why I was trying to coming down here. Kind of waking up now from a... And those are beautiful deep sleep. I think God gives that little grace, you know?
Those are little naps and... People say you should take naps. I can't do that. If I sit for a nap, I'm probably gone for a few hours.
For a few hours,
because you're in need of sleep.
I guess that's it.
Because
you
get the crazy hours.
Yes.
Yeah.
My mother had those hours where she worked during the night in the hospital, and you know, wanted. She did that after my father retired from the military, and then she had worked as a nurse's aide. When we were really little children, there were only a few of us at the time. But then, I mean, she had eight children by the time she was 30 years old.
Wow.
And so the more she had, then she finally decided, you know, she wasn't going to work and just raise the family.
Yes.
So she only worked for a couple of years. But I remember I was in maybe kindergarten, first grade, because I remember we used to take her to work. This is in Colorado Springs at Ent Air Force Base. At the time, it was Ent Air Force Base. Now it's the Olympic training field. But so we would drop her off at work. But anyway, but she had those hours. So then by the time we were all in high school, I was already out of high school. While I was in high school, she took on that same shift. No, I think when we were little children, she worked during the day. Mm-hmm. But, and it was only for, like I say, for a few years, but when we were all older, at least some of us were in high school, four of us were in high school, and then the other four were younger, but we're all born within 10 years. So it might have been junior high, high school. In any case, she tried to do those hours, work in the hospital, but during the night from 11 to 7, so that she could be up and taking care of the home and the family. Wow, it was brutal.
Yeah. It is.
For everybody.
See, I did that for a few years. I did a 10 to 6 o'clock in the morning, and that really messed me up.
But that's what you do now.
No.
He's on the second shift.
I'm on the second shift now.
So it's from 2 to 12 to, or whatever?
3 to 11.
But that's hard.
What I'm saying. Because of the night,
right?
I come home and I still am in that mode. Because
you're wide awake.
Yeah, people say that. Once you work that overnight, that doesn't... And I have a friend now that he loves it. He loves it.
I tell you, so speaking of that, I don't know how you do it. Because now my day ends after 8:30. I get to my room usually about 9 o'clock because I've had confessions and mass in the evening, and as I have to be honest, I'm really detaching as best as I can from news. It's just so disturbing.
You have to, Father.
Both political and religious.
As much as I hate to say it, this might be the end of things. I'm beginning to feel like that. That's the way it is.
Yeah, it's just very depressing. And so, but what I watched last night, I encourage everybody to see this. And Christina, you're not that young, but
I'm not.
But I was asking Jasmine. We were talking about this because I watched his concert last night, and Jasmine didn't even know who she was.
Oh my!
Now who is she? So I watched the concert. When Barbara Streisand came out of, she had stage fright, and so
Who's Barbara Streisand?
Yeah. Do you know who she is?
I know.
Christina? Of course. Yeah. She's come on in so many movies. Yeah.
She is a real diva, what they call diva.
She's a perfectionist.
Oh, my gosh.
Old school diva.
Yes.
But if anybody gets a chance, go back and watch the concert from 1994 in Anaheim, California. When she came out of, not retirement, but she had, because she was always singing, but she hadn't done public performance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
She had stage fright. This woman is so dynamic and so beautiful. Her music, her
voice.
I love
her voice. She has a beautiful voice.
Beautiful. And it's, she did Funny Girl and.
Yentl.
What's Up, Doc? What's up, Doc?
She was in
there's a lot of these musicals going back. Yentl was more in the 1980s, I think, because I was in the seminary when I saw that. And in fact, actually, if you had seen me at that time, when I was young, a newly ordained priest, I had a beard. Mm-hmm. Many people at the time the movie came out said I looked just like the actor, what's his name?
I don't know, but he had a beard.
And I remember watching the movie after they said that, and I thought, yeah, I can see the similarity with the beard. With the beard.
I'm thinking Ryan Reynolds, but that's not.
No, it was somebody else. No. That was.
Okay, now I got to know.
You're thinking of The Way We Were. Maybe. But that was Robert Redford.
Okay.
This is going to be a light day, I think. We're just going to talk nonsense. But this isn't nonsense, because this is really good.
This is Yentl. Okay.
But she has such a beautiful voice.
That song,
You Don't Bring Me Flowers.
The Way We Were, You Don't Bring Me Flowers. Somewhere. She ended the concert with Somewhere.
Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
No.
That's Judy Garland.
I think it's called Somewhere.
Yeah.
But it was just a beautiful. It was a beautiful concert. It was a beautiful concert, and she spoke, you know, during the it was the talked about her life. You know, she was always going to a psychiatrist and a psychologist or whatever. She had a counselor, and she just made fun. You know, she made light of herself and all that. But it was really quite beautiful.
But who would ever think that someone like her, so talented, would be stage fright?
Well, you know,
and it's interesting.
Like
many of them are.
Like she said, you know, when she started out, she had a natural voice because she started singing when she was just for fun. She never took voice lessons or anything. Never.
Natural talent.
And natural, just a natural talent. And she, and by the way, she does beautiful Christmas music as well. She's from Flatbush. Mm. Brooklyn, a Jewish woman, and her Christmas albums are really
beautiful.
Quite beautiful.
She did a duet with, well, like many singers, but with Celine Dion. There's this one song.
Celine
Dion.
She did duets with a lot of people. What's the one of the Bee Gees? I think that was Send Me Flowers.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that was with one of the Bee Gees, the only surviving Bee Gee. But I saw this. I'm just telling people, you know, you want to see that movie. By the way, and did I mention before?
Tony's looking up some.
Yeah, I can't see the. It's Yentl, right? The male lead.
It starts with a. He's not a real famous actor, but he's
Mandy.
Who?
No.
Mandy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Him.
Paddington. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Because he's got the beard.
He still has the beard.
And I'm saying he doesn't look like you.
No, he's younger.
No, back
but
then.
At that time when I was young, I had that kind of hair and I had that kind of beard.
Yes.
Okay, there you go.
So
and the guitar and everything.
Yeah, and the guitar. No, he didn't play the guitar.
Okay.
Maybe he did. Oh no, I think he did, but not in the movie.
Yeah.
In the movie. Oh no, I'm thinking of another movie.
Yeah.
With the violin.
Well, you should play The Star Is Born. They did the remake of
The Star Is Born. Yeah.
And I didn't see the one with Gaga, Lady Gaga.
It's surprisingly very
good. Actually, it's pretty good.
I heard it was.
Very good.
I can't imagine it would be better than the one that Streisand
did. Now I have to see that one. I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
I saw both, and I liked the newer version.
Really?
Yeah, that's, yeah.
I heard.
Really only good. Because I like the characters. Yeah. Well, I like the characters in the old one, too, the actors.
So anyway, so I was mentioning we've had a busy week, and we're not going to be all over the place, but... we'll talk about St. John of the Cross. I had children's confessions. So, and of course, we had the concert at the last of the confessions on Wednesday. We had the Christmas concert, which was really beautiful. They did a great job. It's in the church. The first graders sang, "All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth." And they were great. And I said, and I told people afterwards, I said, you know, as they were singing, I realized why they sang that song.
They needed teeth.
They needed teeth.
And who are always the stars of the concerts? It's always the little ones.
They were great.
Yeah.
They were great.
They're so spontaneous.
But I had to compliment the eighth graders, too, because they did a great job. Usually they're more self-conscious, but they did a beautiful job. And that's we got a good group of eighth graders. But so after the last confessions, I forgot what grade it was. Might have been... third grade, because you're the little kids. But anyway, so after the confession, and they don't see me because I do the confessions in my chapel. Do you remember? Did we do that when you were here? Yes, you had the screen. And they're in the, yeah. So after the confession, I gave him his penance, and I won Our Father, two Hail Marys, and I gave him the absolution. And then I said, now you go to the other, we create this other chapel, and there's a kneeler and a crucifix and a statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and you do your penance there. And he says, okay. And he says, Father, he says, how old are you? And I said, 68. He says, wow. And then there was a pause, and I thought, he's going to say, you look so much younger. He said, I thought you were 75 years. So I said, okay, your penance is one rosary, you know, that's your penance. So I told him, I told the parents at the concert that night, I said, so oh if you God. Have a child who's praying the rosary tonight, it's because that's the one who asked me that, answered the question. Asked me the question and
answered it.
You know, can you imagine?
Oh, Mike, that, you know how children, they're so...
They're so honest, you know. They're very honest, you know.
There's a saying in Spanish that the children and somebody, you know, a drunk person, they always say the truth.
Oh, that's funny, yeah. That's funny. We're bound to the seal of confessional, but some of the confessions of those little kids are so cute.
They're cute because they're so innocent.
They're innocent. The age of innocence. Wow, yeah. So beautiful. I told you about the time that I, when I made my first confession, that I had stolen. So we were Air Force, so we moved around. So when I was in kindergarten or first grade or second grade, because after second grade we moved to another Air Force base. And so I had, we would go home for lunch. In those days, you know, kids would walk home for right. lunch.
Those were the days.
Those were the days. And then you go back to school. Mm-hmm. And it was a long walk. It seemed like a long walk. I mean, probably today it wouldn't seem so, but it was probably about 3 or 4 blocks. And on the way, my mother would always, because again, she had 8 children within 10 years. So I'm the second oldest. My one sister's a year older than I am. But for some reason, I was the one that always had to do the stop by the grocery store and buy bread and milk or something she always needed. But it seemed it was always bread and milk. But it was like every day, you know. So I remember going to the store, and I bought the bread and the milk. And I don't know what got in me, but I thought
devil.
The devil made me do it.
But I saw, you know, they had those, you know, the penny licorice,
right?
Yeah.
In the jars. So I thought, you know, why not? I just took two.
I earned it.
Well, I didn't pay for it, you know. Right. So I took the 2 penny licorices and put them in my pocket.
In your pocket.
Yeah. And so. But I never forgot it. I did kind of forget it, or I didn't forget it. I had a very, very delicate conscience, as I always have. And so we moved from Colorado into Air Force Base, and we moved to another Air Force Base, and that's where I made my first Holy Communion. So as we're preparing for Holy Communion, you know, you have to make your first confession. And we were told that if you steal, your sins are not forgiven until you return
whatever you stole.
You have to make reparation, or that's how we understood it as kids. So I confessed my sins, and I confessed the fact that I had stolen these 2 penny licorices. And I don't remember if the priest told me I had to pay that back or whatever, but it was in my mind that my sin wouldn't be forgiven until I paid it back. And it bothered me because I thought, how am I going to get back to Colorado and pay back, you know, the 2 cents that I owed the store for having taken the licorice? And that, you know, my gosh, I'm going to go to hell because I'm not going to be able to get back to Colorado. So, you know, as a priest, I did make a trip to Colorado, not for that purpose, but it was on my mind. And while I was there, because I went to the old house where we lived, was no longer there, but I walked to the school, went to the kindergartner room. I remember when my father took me to kindergarten, and I tell you, it had the same look, the same
smell, scent,
and it was during the summer. And you could smell, you know, the glue that as kindergartners used to use that glue?
Yes.
You could smell that glue, the same glue. It was as if I was just transported back into the time my father took me to to school, the first day of school, to kindergarten. But the room hadn't been changed at all and had the same smell. I could smell that glue. But anyway, so I walked on the way home, and I thought, you know, I'm going to stop by the store, and I'm going to pay back with interest, of course, you know. So, and I figured $10 would be enough, right, after so many years.
That's a lot of interest.
Interest.
So I went. Well, it was a Radio Shack. Mm-hmm. It was no longer. But I did go in, and I left $10 on the counter, and felt pretty good.
Say, sir, you know, sir, this is your $10. No, that's retribution for what
retribution.
Yeah.
Reparation.
Reparation.
So I'm not going to go to hell, at least not for that, you know. Anyway, isn't that funny? Out of the how the kids think, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you take things seriously. Like, oh my gosh, this is I'm going to go to hell.
Right.
Or remember, Father, when you said that who was it? I don't know if it was your father or your mother or your grandmother when the Christmas tree that you had an angel.
Oh, yeah, right.
The hair.
Yeah.
I love this story.
This is in keeping with the season, although we're in Advent. So my father told us, in those days, you remember like 1 year to a next was forever.
Yep.
And so after Christmas, all the Christmas decorations were hidden away. We didn't know where they were hidden away, but then they only come out again at Christmas time. And so we had on the top of the tree an angel with real Christmas hair. So it was my father and mother told us that, you know, the angel has real Christmas hair, had real hair.
Real hair, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that during the night you gotta sleep because the angel watches and flies around. So, you know, I figured that's the case. So Christmas Eve, my father or mother, one of the two, said, we all had to go to bed. And I remember how exciting it was, too, because do you remember? I think they still do this, but you as kids, we waited, watched the TV, and you would get the update on where Santa Claus was. Right?
Oh, they still do that. They still do that.
And so, and that was the year that my grandmother had come to visit us. Because my mother had just had her, seventh child, seventh, my brother Tim, and I was still in the hospital. So it had to be my father who told me this, because she was still in the hospital for Christmas. And so my grandmother had come, surprised us. It was funny, I have to tell you this, it was so funny because she never told us when she was coming. She would just surprise us. And she came, and she would unpack her suitcase, and she had kielbasa and kiszka and all this stuff, you know, all this Polish food she'd bring from Chicago.
It smells so good.
Yeah, oh, my gosh. Wow, and she'd make the pierogies and all that kind of stuff. She didn't bring the pierogies, but she certainly brought kielbasa and kiszka, and I don't remember what else, but I remember those two. Meats and kiszka, I still to this day don't figure out, I'm not quite sure. They call it blood sausage, so I'm not really sure what it is.
Just going to leave it at that.
Leave it at that. But I do like it, you know. But anyway, so that Christmas Eve, we were told to go to bed, and that Santa Claus will not come until you're all asleep. Now, I, like all every night, I'm always kind of half asleep, and on Christmas night, every child is half asleep. But I'm keeping an eye open. I want to see this.
The angel fly.
I want to see this angel come to my room. And, well, you know, I never saw it. But, and Santa Claus did come, you know, so. But anyway, those are fun memories.
This is what today would be called abuse, in a sense.
Because
it's like,
abuse.
You know, the things that, and these are innocent things that, there was a purpose to this that you remember so many years later.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. And today it's just like, oh, no, everybody is soft and everybody is, you know.
No, soft and tender.
You know what I mean? It's just
We had beautiful memories of Christmas.
I think those were the days. I wish we could go back to those
days. Gosh, don't
days.
You wish?
I really do.
Everybody says that now.
When I was 12 years old, I couldn't wait to be 20. And when I turned 20, I thought, why did I ever want to become 20? Why didn't I just...
Stay.
Why wasn't I satisfied with being 12 years old? Because I always think after 12, that's when life really gets hard.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, I'm sad that, you know, children lose their innocence
so fast
today, especially.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, it's a very, and we'll take a break, but just if you ever get a chance, if you've seen the old Art Linkletter, Frank Armin is, we're of the same generation. But you had the old Art Linkletter and the children, where he would ask the children questions. They were so innocent. They were. It was so funny, so funny. And then Bill Cosby
mm-hmm.
tried to reenact that later, and you can see the difference.
Yeah.
The children were so arrogant and kind of
like smart aleck,
snooty, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
No Christmas for you guys.
You can really see the generational difference.
Yeah.
You know. I'll never forget the, now this was candid camera, but it was a little, when they did the little things with the kids, and they had a little girl, if you ever get a chance, you got to see these. And so they had the girl, Ellen Funt, is that who it was with candid camera?
Ellen, yeah, I think it was Ellen Funt.
Funt? Funt. And he told the little girl, okay, now listen. Okay, he says, now listen, I'm expecting a call, and I want you to take the message, you know. So she sat by the phone. She was a little girl from Brooklyn, yeah, that New York accent. And so the phone rings, and the voice says, okay, I want you to take this note, repeat after me. Okay, I'm going to meet
so-and-so,
the boss at 2 o'clock, and he gave her instructions. She's okay, and she's just thinking in her head, okay, she's trying to remember, okay. And then he says, okay, thank you. And then she hangs up, and I said, I forgot.
And then she starts
in her head. I forgot. And then he calls again, and he said, and it's, oh, she'd be so happy he called, gave her the note again. Uh-huh. And he's okay, so she's, and you just got to watch how she's thinking. Okay, I'm going to try to remember this, keep this in my mind. Okay, so she hangs up. As soon as she hangs up, oh, I forgot.
Great. It's so cute.
Sometimes we need to watch these things and just forget the stuff that's going on in the world today, what's going on in the news and all that, and go back to the age of innocence. Thank God, you know, at least that's the nice thing about internet, is you can go back and you watch these things.
See some of the stuff, yeah.
Yes.
So anyway, we're 32 minutes into the show. We're just talking nonsense, but not nonsense, because it's life, and you know, we got to lighten up a little bit. We need to have a little bit of
levity.
Levity, right?
Yes.
So, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about something serious, about the dark night of the soul. So, let's come out of the light and into the dark. But in that dark, we find Christ. St. John of the Cross, one of my favorites. All right, everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright.
Oh, hello, elves.
Hello, Santa.
Why are you singing?
Santa, we're practicing to sing on the Winds of Change Christmas program.
You silly elf. Winds of Change will be featuring the Christmas music of the Daughters of St. Paul.
Santa, can I sing with them?
You silly elf. Would you like to get a lump of coal in your stocking? On Monday, December 25th, Christmas Day, from noon until 1, enjoy the Christmas music of the Daughters of St. Paul on Winds of Change on AM 750.
I would be really happy to sing.
You are a silly elf.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change. Sometimes it's tough to hear Winds of Change over the air, what with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air, live, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button. For Winds of Change podcasts, click on Listen to Episodes or visit the Winds of Change Facebook page.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I thought those were the Munchkins.
I just want to hang out with those elves.
The elves, they are
awesome. Elves.
The man of a million voices. And he's right behind the man behind the curtain over there.
Those elves are awesome.
It's great. I thought they were Munchkins until then. I realized, well, no, this isn't the season for the Munchkins.
Munchkins are a little different.
You talk about the Lollipop Guild.
We represent
Lollipop Guild.
Yeah, even that. I felt like I don't want to get into St. John of the Cross. Remember those days too when you didn't have internet and you couldn't wait for these
movies
to come on. Once a year again, and it would seem like a year was forever, but once a year you had to see The Wizard of Oz. We'd all gather around the TV television.
And I always say this, it was a shock. I never had a color TV, so when it was color, I'm like, oh my gosh, I always saw this in black and white.
Poor guy. But, you know, we didn't have a color TV either. Mm-hmm. And when the color TV came out, we were so good. We really were, as you know, because we were taught in those days, and my father was very firm. Wherever you go, well, we never went out to eat. You never. Once in a while, we went to McDonald's.
That was a treat.
And that was a treat, and that would be maybe once a year. And we didn't. We didn't. We stayed in the car, and my parents would order, you know, order out. Mm-hmm. But it was only once a year. At most, I would say once a year we went to McDonald's. When my father was in Vietnam, my mother took us a little bit more often, you know. but whenever we went shopping, or if we went to visit and went to anybody's home, it was truly kids are to be seen, not heard. Wow. And you did not speak, and it wasn't abusive, you know. It was
We had the way it should be.
Respect.
Respect.
And but I remember that we were the eight of us, again, all born in 10 years. We were really good. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that that's the way it was. And so we had neighbors about three doors down. They didn't have any children. And they got colored TV. And so they invited us over to watch. Because what were the movies that came out? Wizard of Oz once a year, Peter Pan, I think Cinderella. But there were these, aside from The Wizard of Oz, the others were Walt Disney movies.
Are they animated, the cartoons?
No, they were.
They were.
Or I don't know. Were they cartoons?
Because Disney had I'll never forget, on Sundays they had an hour or they had a...
Right. That was always
Disney programs.
That. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was...
Yeah. Disney was Disney.
Right.
And I don't know what Disney is now.
It was always kind of a depressing time because you knew you were going back to school, but
it meant Monday.
At least it gave you a little bit of a respite.
It was like the evening, right, Father?
Right. It was the evening. Sunday evening.
Sunday evening.
Gosh, those were the days.
Or family classics.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I think Bonanza was on Sunday evening, too. But anyway, in those days, because it was the same all over the place, and you didn't get that. We didn't have cable at that time. You didn't have cable, but we didn't have color TV. So they invited us over to watch these movies that were in color. But I remember, you know, they would bring cookies by and offer us cookies, and we would, you know, look to my father to see if he gave the nod. Then we would gently take one cookie and just sat there quietly watching the movie. But, yeah, but you didn't, Wizard of Oz was, I don't remember that it was color once they got into the Land of Oz.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you didn't see it in color, poor Tony.
No, I was surprised. To this day, I get shocked when I see the color part of it.
You're traumatized.
Wow. Well, traumatized.
And that's the other thing, too, how scary that was.
Yeah,
movie was scary.
It was.
Yeah, sort of. It was scary.
But by today's standards, you know, it was pretty mild.
Yep.
Anyway, you guys should share your Christmas stories, you know, or some favorite memory.
Christmas memory.
Do you?
Oh, actually, you don't have any,
I don't have
Tony?
Any.
I do have several.
Well, just one.
One.
Let's start with one.
You asked if we had.
No, you can. Which one? What do you? Which one do you remember?
Which one? I remember one time I was at home alone.
Home Alone, Chicago style.
Are you just making this up? Because they made a movie called that.
I know. I'm just being funny.
They stole it from Christina.
No, I was at home and my parents...
He was just diagnosed with cancer, by the way, I heard.
He was?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
McCaulkin or whatever.
Is he a father?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought he has a beard now. But anyway, I was...
Put it down around the story. Thanks.
Oh, sorry.
Home Alone. He sort of... you know who he reminds me at that age? One of our parishioners, the Whitlicks.
Yes, of
Timothy
course.
Timothy Whitlick looks...
Yes,
like
right.
Him at that age.
At that age, yeah.
Yeah.
He so sort you're of home alone.
Like, so I was home alone, and my parents had gone out grocery shopping, I think. And I don't know, my younger brother went with them, and my older brother was with his friends, I guess. I don't know. But I was home alone, and I had the Christmas decorations up, and I put some Christmas music on, and I was coloring. At that time, I went to St. Stan's School. They would give us like these little pamphlets. It was catechism.
Right.
And they had the pictures, and you could color them. So I had the we had the nativity, and I was coloring the picture. And actually, it was the picture of our Lord there in the manger. So I was listening to the Christmas music, and then the Christmas lights, the tree. And I remember I was so happy. That's one of those moments where I just felt everything was perfect.
Right,
I was just
happy
and just coloring the... And I, till this day, I like to color. I mean, it's like that child,
The
child in me. But I could say that there's one of those moments where I felt like so at peace. Everything was just perfect. You know, you get those moments where, you know, because life is so hard. Even like as a child, you remember things that...
Is that it? That's the whole story?
Is that it?
Are you serious?
That's you didn't have to defend from two burglars that were trying to come into the house?
No, that's just...
But no, isn't that a beautiful time? I mean, really, when you think about it, those are little
epiphanies,
you know, it's where you feel like everything's just perfect and you're home alone. you know, you don't like your parents, you don't like your brothers. You're happy that they're not there.
It was all about me. I felt his
but
presence.
Just a piece, that's beautiful. No, that is.
But like with Christmas, we would, you know, in our culture, you know, for Christmas we make tamales and pozole. So
pozole.
Remember, I do have
atole.
Memory.
No, atole or chocolate?
Well, there's atole and there's champurrado.
Champurrado.
It's different. Just
which is a kind of the chocolate drink.
It's chocolate, now. Yeah.
What do they call that?
Well, there's hot chocolate. Chocolate.
Chocolate.
Chocolate. And champurrado is made out of, it has a thick consistency because you put in...
Is that made with corn?
It's made with cornstarch.
Oh, cornstarch. That is good.
But
with tamales.
But the tamales, so with my grandmother and my mom, she used to put us, it was like a, kind of like, a, it reminds me of Lucy with the chocolate factory.
Right.
So it was like the assembly line, that's what I want to say.
Right.
So we all had our assembly line spot, and we would put the tamales, we put the filling, but being together, sharing that.
Right.
That I do have those memories.
Those are beautiful memories. Yeah. They really are. Tamales. I'm just thinking of tamales as we're going down memory lane. You know, we may not get to St. John of the Cross. But do you remember, Christina, because I used to, the first 6 years I was here, I had masses every evening. We had a custom where, because I don't go out with anybody, you know, I purposely don't because my life is here and I want to have same access to all people. But I wanted to, you know, the first 6 years I wanted to learn Spanish. I wanted to, and people would always invite me, you know, you go to one place, you go to another, you know, so I said, how can I do this? So I can, be with the people. So I decided, you know, what we'll do is we'll have every week we brought into the church an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe and a family, and everybody would sign up, you know. So this week, let's say the Carrasco family would have the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So they would receive it at the church
on Sunday
at the end of the Mass, take the image to their home. And they would pray the rosary every night, and we announced to everybody that the Carrasco family has the image of Our Lady Guadalupe, and they're praying the rosary every night, and everybody's invited. So the point was that the doors open, anybody can join them for the rosary. And then on Saturday night, I would go celebrate the Mass, we would pray the rosary, and then we would have a convivencia.
Yeah.
And it was always, you know, pozole, tamales, or whatever, the traditional. But it was always, and it was always a lot of people. Now, Christina's father and mother both went with me all the time because they would sing, play the guitar. Your mother played the tambourine. And
they would sing at the Mass.
And then the next day, of course, the family that had the image would bring it back during the offertory. They would bring it up, and then the next family would take the image. And so I told the people, because I was I did this for six years, every Saturday night. And I told the people one Sunday, I said, you know, the tamales, I really like tamales, you know, very good. And after that, every Sunday I had
tamales.
So many, I mean, everybody was bringing me tamales. And they bring not just one, two, three, four. It's a stack of tamales.
Like a dozen at least.
but I think for the Mexicans, tamales would be like pierogi for the Polish. Because it's a lot of work making them.
It is a lot of work. Or you even know? Like the gołąbki's is a lot of work.
Gołąbki.
Gołąbki.
That's Polish.
That's Polish.
Yeah.
It's the same as the pierogies. It's
what do you know about gołąbki?
She knows.
Polish?
I know. Well, I grew up in this Paris, so I know the food and all the tradition.
What would be comparable to that with Mexican food or Spanish food? Hispanic?
Chiles rellenos.
Yeah.
Sure.
I was thinking that too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Well, yeah, the stuffed peppers.
No.
Chiles rellenos.
Bell peppers.
Yeah. But chile relleno is made out of poblano peppers, which is a spicier.
Right.
Then bell peppers are not spicy.
Gołąbki isn't bell peppers.
It's made
peppers.
Out of cabbage.
Cabbage.
But I'm thinking it's a vegetable.
It's got meat and rice in it.
Yeah, well.
Pig in a blanket they used to. I think, didn't they call it pig in a blanket?
But stuffed peppers, you could put cheese or meat in it. It's whatever
right,
you want to put in.
I haven't heard
There's
that
no
in a long time. Yeah. That's
yeah,
good.
Look,
is that a Mexican?
Really hungry.
That's Mexican, the chiles rellenos, stuffed peppers.
My mother-in-law makes some really good.
Capusta? No.
No, not. Well, she makes the chile rellenos.
Who? Your mother-in-law.
Your mother-in-law. Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah,
I was like, your mom made this?
My mom does.
I was going to say.
Your mom
But I've had good gołąbki.
Gołąbki is good, yeah.
Did your mom make Polish food?
Sometimes.
Yeah?
Not a lot. My aunt did more of the...
Unfortunately, Roy doesn't have a good... he doesn't have a good Christmas story.
What's this, Roy? I was hoping they would come back to me. I was hoping.
You don't have a... Do you have a Christmas story?
No. My Christmases were always dark and...
Yeah. Well, that'll be a good lead into St. John of the Cross.
Exactly.
Okay.
Let's move
so
on.
So how we come full circle, this is always amazing to me. So we'll take a break and we'll come full circle for the sake of Tony, whose whole life has been a dark night. Okay. Everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back on Father Anthony on Winds of Change, Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. Did you know there was a time when St. Nicholas wasn't so jolly? It was in 325 AD when the bishops gathered in Nicaea for the first ecumenical council. That council was called to answer the false teachings of a priest named Arius. He wrongly taught that Jesus was not the eternal Son of God. He even sang a song with the words, "There was a time when he, Christ, was not." So when Arius repeated those lyrics to the council fathers, I got a little hot under my clerical collar, and I angrily walked up and slapped Arius right in the face. Everyone was shocked. But after regaining my composure, I rejoined the other bishops to approve the Nicene Creed, the same creed that defends the divinity of Christ to this very day. So if you think you're not the stuff saints are made of, just remember, I didn't become jolly old Saint Nick overnight. Christ is born, glorify him.
We are the students of St. Stan Zakowska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray Guarini, host of The Doctor Is In. A blessed Advent to you leading up to Christmas time. The greatest story ever told. The God of the universe becomes a baby, one of us. Look forward to that one. Don't get caught up in all the Christmas stuff without paying attention to the greatest story ever told.
Welcome back. Again, that's Armin's fault because you always wait till the last minute, Armin. Anyway. So I've got, because we only got 10 minutes, and since Tony just kind of led me right into...
Brings us all back to where we need
back,
to be.
Back to where we want to be, the dark night of the soul. No, St. John of the Cross, his feast day was yesterday, and I love his writings. He's a great poet, one of the greatest in Spain. He was born in Spain in the 16th century, but he was a great reformer of the Carmelite order, and he, alongside with St. Teresa of Avila, but he's known as St. John of the Cross. It's a beautiful reading on suffering and how really it's suffering that brings us into true relationship with God, because suffering of its very nature is purgative. If we have the wisdom and the humility, rather than blame God for our sufferings, you know, cleave to the cross. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, pick up your cross and follow. I say, you know, the world will deceive us. The free reign of the flesh will deceive us. Satan is a deceiver. But God never deceived us, never, ever deceived us. And I think part of the problem with young people today is if they, because again, they're so influenced by TikTok and all this stuff that's coming through social media, and they think there's something wrong with them because a lot of it is so godless, and even worse than godless, it's demonic. And so the problem is many feel that they, you know, their self-esteem is so diminished by what they see because they're comparing themselves to these people they're watching on TikTok and other venues via social media. But if they could come to realize, hey, listen, and I try to tell our students, you know, you're not going to have full happiness in this life. You know, you have that beautiful moment, as you described it, that Christmas when you were, or in preparation for Christmas, when you were home alone and Christmas music and coloring and the Christmas tree. And I can picture that. You could actually, as you were speaking about that, I could feel that. I was drawn into that. But the dark night of the soul begins, as St. John would say, the moment when we look around and see that all the things of the heavens and earth, those of which we are so firmly attached, compared with God, are nothing. And Jeremiah said, I saw the earth, and it was empty, and was nothing. And the heavens, I saw they had no light. Now, heavens, we're not talking about heaven, the kingdom of God, but we're talking about the sky, the universe, right? I looked at the earth, and it was waste and void, at the heavens, and their light had gone out. That's quoting from the prophet Jeremiah. We understand in this moment that our fixations and liking to these things are attachments to what in reality is nothing. They are impediments to our reaching God, impediments to our being transformed in God. These are the words of St. John of the Cross. We then understand that we will never understand truth, the truth, as long as we depend on our own lights. We will never understand light or lights. We will never understand God as long as we are detached to creatures. I'm sorry, we will never understand God as long as we are attached to creatures, or until we detach from creatures, meaning things. All the beauty of creatures, the beauty of things, compared with the infinite beauty of God, all the beautiful creatures are nothing compared with the infinite beauty of God. And all the grace and elegance of creatures or things of this world compared with the grace of God are disagreeable, insipid, tasteless, bad. Desabriga, because I was actually quoting here from the Spanish. Oh. Desabriga, disagreeable, insipid, tasteless, and bad. And all the goodness of the things of this world compared to the infinite goodness of God could be called evil. We know that while we are entrapped by attachments to creatures or to the things of this world, we will be incapable of uniting ourselves to God until we are purified or purify ourselves of all attachments to the things of this world. we will not be in conditions or capable of possessing God or being possessed by God, neither in this life nor in the next. And so begins the dark night of the soul. So the point being is that, you know, we're all, you know, we're tambaleando por la vida, you know, we're muddling through life. The hope is that we're in the quest for God. Because I was telling the students this morning, because we went through the genealogy at Mass, I took the gospel of the genealogy because I want them to see things in historical perspective, the coming of the Messiah, the incarnation, Jesus coming to us in the flesh, you know, going back. We read back into the Old Testament, into the Hebrew Scriptures, and now here we are 2,000 years later, and the drama continues to unfold. But we only occupy just a little bit of time, and the point being that, and you can reflect on this, everybody, but until we can let go of the things of this world or detach, this is where asceticism is so important, a certain holy detachment in order to cleave to Jesus. We've got to be on the quest for God. This is what Saint John of the Cross is speaking about, that you talk to many people and they'll say, you know, Saint Monica, I think of Saint Monica before she died, in that conversation she had with Saint Augustine, that I don't know why I'm still here. Nothing in this world is attractive to me. You know, nothing. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Life is beautiful. Life is a gift. But as we go through life, you just take your own personal life. Where, you know, we mentioned the beauty of childhood and the innocence. I said, you know, when I was 12, I wanted to be 20. When I was 20, I thought, why did I want to leave? Why did I ask to be 20 when life was much more beautiful, much more innocent, even though there was excitement and there was adventure, and life is an adventure. But the trajectory is in one direction only. And so everything, slowly but surely, we're being purged of the things of this world, even purged of our own bodies, because our bodies age and we die. And so, but in the thicket of suffering, and this is the, you know, making is, we can come back to this later, but that suffering has the capacity to bring us more deeply into relationship with God, because God is infinite goodness, infinite beauty. God is our creator, redeemer, our good end, and, you know, that only God can satisfy that emptiness that is within all of us, that we will not be fully happy, have full joy, until we find that joy in God. And so the point being, little by little, we detach from the things of this world in order to be attached or in the possession of God, God possessing, as it were, our lives, reproducing his life in our life. Anyway, we'll come back to that, but does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
You know, so nobody can deny it. Listen, everybody, thanks for being with us. Have a blessed weekend. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace
be
with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time.